Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Hey, I love our church. Don't you love our church? It's phenomenal. If you're a guest here, we want to thank you for coming, and we hope that you feel really, really welcome, because that's what we want to do. We want to be a place that creates that. And we're looking in this series on It's Complicated. And today we're talking about it's not me, it's you, because it's all your fault, really, to be honest with you. No, not really at all. But we're looking at this area, and I just want to let you know that we don't do these series like we should probably talk about relationships, because that's what we do every year. We may put it in every year, but it is really important and crucial that you understand the significance of this, that this is not just a light week. Like, next time we'll pray, we'll speak on faith, and we'll talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about God moving, and now we'll just talk about relationships and kind of click over. This is really, really crucial. We know how crucial it is because of the community that we've created. I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that carries this core, that loves people, that actually cares about people. And I know that's the truth, because when I meet new people and I get to know them a little bit and we start to talk, often the thing they tell me is that when they came here, it felt like home. It feels like home. And I want to speak into an area today, not necessarily because I think it's something that anyone here may in particular need to hear, but I'm sure there are people that really need to hear this, but for us to embrace this as a personal culture in our life that can only help us in making relationships key, in making relationships strong and healthy, because we want to create a loving community that does feel like home. We really do. Now, hear me when I say this. We're going to be talking about the area of judgment. And while I'm talking about people that are judgmental, I don't want you to feel judgment. You get me? Because I'm going to do some pastoring here today and help us move forward. But you need to hear me and understand that the Holy Spirit is doing a work on all of our lives, and He wants to help us move forward. So just know this, that while I'm speaking here today, God gets you. He gets that it's complicated and that maybe some of the relationships and the people in your relationships are difficult, but He wants to help you. Amen? Amen. I'm so passionate about this because God is really passionate about this. In Matthew 23, I think Pastor Mark was talking about it in his encouragement of around the tithe here. It says, Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? And he answers, he says, you must love the Lord your God, replied Jesus, with all your heart, with all your life, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment, and it's the one that really matters. The reason it really matters is if you don't understand God's love for you, you will not be able to appropriately love anyone else. And I wanted to say that because sometimes when we read it like that, yes, that's crucial. Love your Lord your God. But we have to remember what he then said. He said the second is similar. Similar not being, it's kind of the same, but not as important. Similar than saying it flows from the same heartbeat, and I believe is equally as important. And we have to catch this if we want to do church right. It says the second is similar, and it is this: you must love your neighbor as yourself. Healthy relationships is not just something that would be a nice idea. Like, I've got Jesus, He speaks to me, I come to church and the Holy Spirit fills my heart, and it's awesome, and it'd be nice if my relationships were doing okay too. They're one and the same. Jesus is saying here that to love God is to love other people. In fact, he tells us in the book of John, it says that you will know you love one another, and you'll know, that you love me if you love one another. And so God is calling us constantly not to consider this as something that would just be a nice idea, but that loving each other is core to the Christian pursuit. That the faith that we have in Christ, the core flow-on effect after we love God is to love one another. So he starts in in fixing and in enabling us to come back into a healthy, strong, dynamic, real, alive relationship with God. And you can have that. And the good news is it's not up to you. If it was up to me, I don't know how I'd do that. Because how do I have a relationship with a God who's so pure and perfect, he's like fire? I can't. But through Jesus, I now, through what he did on the cross for me, his goodness, his righteousness has been imputed into my life so that I can now have a relationship with a pure God. So as I have a restored relationship with God, he then restores my relationship with me. Because we know that what makes relationships challenging at times is us. And the thing that really puts tension on relationships at times is our insecurities. And the thing that stops us getting that promotion or stops us moving forward or stops us having healing or stops us experiencing breakthrough is our insecurities. But praise God, as I understand and appropriate his love into my life, I recognize that God accepts me as me. So I better start doing it too. And yeah, there's things I'm working on, but I start from a place that I'm loved, that I'm a child of God, that I'm secure in that love, and out of that security comes healing. So that I'm then confident that I can actually get around people and they can help me grow and all of that. And then out of that, we love one another. And again, this is not a work of you, this is a work of the Spirit. So that all I have to do is stay attentive to his voice and think about the things. Before I speak or act, I listen. And I wait. And I don't react. Well, I try not to. By the way, I'm not saying I don't do this. You should just have one day with me and my children, my poor children. I do react often. But what I'm trying to do and what I'm progressing to do is to hear first. And hear the voice of God. And before I say that thing or react in that way, I ask, why am I doing that? And I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit because he wants us to be a community of love. Now, with any relationship, disagreement is inevitable. You put a bunch of imperfect people in a little room together for long enough with all of your wonderful differences. Some of you are spectacularly different. Gloriously unique. And my makeup just doesn't get you. It just doesn't understand. It can't comprehend it, but we're meant to love one another and understand. And so we're on a journey, but in that journey, there's going to be some tension. And Jesus knew this. That's why he spoke so much about it. He speaks more about the way we love each other than he does the way we love God, by the way. He really does want us to get this right. And then with Paul's teaching, he speaks a lot about it because he understood the fact was all these people coming together to form this called out community called the church that are meant to be this community of love. This is really crucial, but they're not going to get it right all the time. But it's so crucial. Oh, to Paul, it was like paramount because to Paul, community was not just so they wouldn't kill each other. A community of love was missional. How will they know God's love unless we reflect it to them? How can we say God is love? And then we, yeah. And the biggest reason people don't come to church is hypocrisy. They wanna feel this love, experience it. Let's show love. But Paul knew it would be tough. And so he gave us some instructions in Ephesians 4. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Paul's instructions in loving one another is always connected to a practical outworking of that love through forgiveness. Always. He's always going, love each other, and this is what it looks like. Forgive one another. Why forgiveness? Because you're going to have to do a lot of forgiveness because you're going to get it wrong. forgive one another. Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, these are the clothes you must put on then, since God has chosen you, made you holy, and lavished his love upon you. You must be tender-hearted, kind, humble, meek, and ready to put up with anything. Now, just let me pause there. I want to say that there is a difference between forgiveness and love and trust. And there are some things that we don't put up with. And in relationships that are abusive and that are not healthy in that sense, and they're putting you in danger, trust is a whole different issue. So he's not saying put up with anything in the sense of you just let people push you around and abuse you, but in the sense of that we have got the same heart of God. Because my connection with God, I don't know about you, but I just am so grateful for God because he just puts up with a lot. Because I know me. And I've done a lot of work on me. When you do a lot of work on you, you become very self-aware. And suddenly I'm really aware. Some of you are blissfully unaware. But don't worry. The Lord will reveal. Or your neighbor will. But I'm not. I'm completely aware. And I'm like, man, Lord, you are so patient and kind. And that's how he wants us to forgive one another. If anything, it's about this idea of preferring. It's just having this heart of a community that just says, all I want to do is love people. And it's not wussy. It's not weak. It's strong. Because again, it helps others get connected and feel strong and feel accepted. Can I speak into an area for us just for a sec? This is kind of a tangent, but I feel like I want to go on this tangent just quickly. I want to say this first and foremost, that if you're here today and you've been coming for a while, and the only reason you're here is because you knew you needed to come to church. Despite what's happening in your life, regardless of the things going on in your world, you made a decision, I'm getting my family to church, and you came late, but that was all you could do, then I just want to say, I'm good with that. I'm totally cool with that. The fact you turned up is phenomenal. So I just want to thank you. There are others of you. Yes, absolutely. But there are others of us that consistently arrive late. And I know this because my kids' workers tell me the biggest check-in time for kids coming. And I also know it because the first song looks a lot emptier than the third song. I'm like, wow, the people just arrived. It's amazing. I want to speak to that because it's really important when we're talking about this being a community of love. I don't know about you. If you've ever hosted guests and dinner starts at 7, so your wife tells you or your husband tells you or your friend, if you're doing it as like a friend thing, they tell you, hey, dinner's at 7, and you go, cool, and you arrive at 7, or maybe 5 past 7, because, you know, your friends, your family. And then you just get this sense that, like, my spouse is pretty upset with me right now. And the dinner's a great success, they have fun, whatever, but then they go home and your spouse or your friend reminds you that, hey, dinner started at 7, that meant you were meant to be here at 6. Because I needed you to help me make this place feel like home. So can I encourage us, when we come to church, let's not just come for us. There are guests here every single week, on average around 10 a week, that we can make this place a home for people to feel like they prepared home for me. Like I was a guest and the people that call this place home made it feel like home. Does this sound good? Is that okay? All right, that was just a little extra for you. If it's for you, you can put it in your pocket. If you're not willing to receive it, that's cool. I'm good with that too. We'll keep doing a journey. God bless you. We love you. Don't leave the church. Keep coming. It's going to be amazing. Okay? Okay, good. Amen. Forgiveness is difficult when we have a mind to fix as opposed to heal. Who loves fixer-uppers? Just give me something to fix. I'm a fix-it guy, and I'm going to fix it, right? Some of us are too good at relational fixer-uppers. It's like when you got married, you're like, I can't wait to fix him. Man, this is going to be a work in progress, and what a great work it's going to be. You know, you get together as friends, and you're like, man, I can't wait to fix you. You're going to be so brilliant once I can get my hands on you. Okay, when you've got that attitude, I'm not saying that's wrong, by the way, in the terms of a desire to see people grow and develop and all of that. That's really important. But when our attitude is to fix, right, rather than just to love, we are approaching it from the wrong angle. And what happens is well, a couple of things happens, but what really happens is when we act on a belief that says it's not me, it's you, right? It's not me, it's you. Does anyone ever watch Seinfeld? Like, their greatest way of ending a relationship that wasn't working was, it's not you, it's me. But they knew it was really, it's not me, it's definitely you. Okay, now that attitude can sound like it's I don't need to change, you need to change. Or it can be, it's your fault, not mine. Man, sometimes working with my beautiful children, to get them to understand that they had a part to play in the thing that just went down is so difficult, particularly if they've got like a mind to create, fix. No, they were idiots. I was awesome. And now my game is broken. So fix them, Dad. Get them. And I'm like, but you have to see your part to play in this. Come on, can't you see that? Nope, them. And sometimes that's what it can be. And that attitude, it'll make it difficult because whilst we try and fix others, we fail to, number one, let God work on us. Because if all we're seeing is other people's faults and the things they need to work on, we stop doing this where we go, God, what do I need to shift? So we fail to see what God wants to work on us. And also we fail to trust God. We stop trusting the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that convicts people and moves people forward. And we have to trust, we have to get a bigger trust that God is working on these people. Now, it's not again that we avoid these areas, but the way that we approach these areas, trusting God first to move in His Spirit, enables us to do this well. Next week, I'm speaking on carefrontation and how we manage conflict and how we move forward in this. Today, I'm really, though, wanting to drill down in the attitude in which we approach this. Does that make sense? Okay, so we want to be careful of these areas. So strong relationships are built as we own our own flaws and ask for the Lord's grace to grow. If everyone did that, we'd be sweet. Like, really did it. If we all looked to God and said, how can I grow, rather than waiting for someone else to tell us to grow, man, things would go well. But relationships struggle when we point out each other and judge each other's flaws. So Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7. He says, don't judge people and you won't be judged yourself. You'll be judged, you see, by the judgment you use to judge others. You'll be measured by the measuring rod you use to measure others. Why do you stare at the splinter in your neighbor's eye, but ignore the plank in your own? I love that imagery. How can you say to your neighbor, here, let me get that splinter out of your eye, when you've got a plank in your own? Oh, it's so brilliant. We're gonna drill down into that in a second. We'll have some fun. You're just play acting. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough, and again, perspective, to take the splinter out of your neighbor's eye. So we're going to break this down a little bit. My first thought is pass on judgment. A lot of us love passing judgment. I think we've got to get better at passing on judgment. So have you ever been at a party and you've eaten way too much food? And you know this because your body is starting to speak to you very clearly about the fact that you are indeed full. But then something else comes by, and man, it looks good. It looks awesome. And you know everything in you wants to take that thing and eat it, but you have this immense moment of self-control and wisdom, and you say, I'll pass. I'll pass. Judgment is real tasty sometimes. It's real nice. But to actually get to this point where you don't pass judgment, you say, I'll pass on that. I'll pass. I don't have the full picture here. I don't have the full understanding here. And even if I do, I'm still not going to do it. I'm going to pass on judgment. Don't judge people and you won't be judged yourself. You'll be judged, you see, by the judgment you use to judge others. There's a lot of judge in there. You'll be measured by the measuring rod you use to measure others. God wants us to pass on judgment. I want to be measured by God's measuring rule, not by the measurement rule I sometimes judge others on. And the crazy thing is his measuring rule is Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. Because again, I could never have measured up until Jesus. But now I'm in Jesus, I have a relationship with Jesus, and at the end of this service, you're going to have an opportunity to respond and actually start a relationship with Jesus. But as soon as I received Christ by faith, his goodness, his righteousness, all that makes him measure up to God became my righteousness. I stepped into a relationship with God, and now God measures me by Christ in me. That's how I want to be measured by God. The scary thing is, the Bible says, as soon as you decide to measure from your measurement, God will measure you. Not Jesus, you. My fear of God is too high to allow that to be a consistent habit in my life. I'm not talking about when you have a bad day. I'm not talking about when you finally just get so frustrated and fed up. I'm not talking about when you see something that makes you irate. Because by the way, we all have this in our lives, because all of us have been given by God a moral compass that can tell what is right from wrong. It is not about removing that. It is about allowing God to pass judgment. To say, God, I trust you that you will come and work in this situation. But as for me, I'm going to own what I need to own, and I'm going to trust you with the rest. It is an attitude again. God asked, before that we pass judgment, we consider our own faults against his perfection and leave judgment in his hands. Everyone say, I'll pass. I'll pass. Okay, me first. Verse 3, why do you stare at the splinter in your neighbor's eye but ignore the plank in your own? How can you say to your neighbor, here, let me get that splinter out for your eye, when you've got a plank in your own? The image is so hilarious. It's brilliant. It's Jesus just having fun. It's like, Dan, let me help you with that splinter in your eye. Well, I've got this 4x2. Sticking out of my head, and oh, sorry, man. Let me just get that for you. Sorry, bro. It's crazy. And the reason he's making it so exaggerated, because he's saying, in a way, this is how you are. This is the craziness of it. You're like, gee, look at that splinter. Let me get that thing for you. While you're completely oblivious to the big plank sticking out your head. And it also shows how serious God wants us to see this today. He wants us to catch this, that this stuff has significant implications on the way that we relate to one another. Oh, it's awesome. This huge plank just out of your head. Oh, it's good. So reassess the issue first. The plank is obviously bigger than the splinter. I know the splinter's annoying. I know that thing they do, that habit they have. Man, it's frustrating every single day. It's like when someone's got a bit of parsley in their teeth. All you can see is that splinter, and you're just like, man, it's annoying me. But before you pass judgment, I could be wrong here. I might be wrong, but maybe the huge bit of log sticking out of your own eye is slightly bigger than the splinter in theirs. I can't tell you the amount of times I've talked to people, pastored, mentored people, and it's like, man, and then I was in this relationship, and then I went to this one, and to this relationship, and then this person over here. And I go, man, what's the common denominator in all these things? One of these things is consistent. Maybe the issue is actually us. Before we pass judgment, is it actually us? Do we need to reassess some things in our lives? Do we need to reassess our planks here? Are we the common factor here? Instead of blaming others, what are we doing ourselves that is damaging our relationships? So we reassess the issue and then we take responsibility. The splinter, yes, it may be an issue. It might need to be dealt with. But our own plank needs to be addressed first. If we really want to see the situation clearly, the issues in our relationships cannot be dealt with whilst we fail to notice our own issues. It might be you but it's probably also me. Can you see the difference? We're not saying don't address issues. We're saying how you address the issue. It might be you. It might be some things that need to shift, but there's probably something in my life. And if I can't see it, I've just got this plank and it's failing me to see the situation clearly. So I kind of live by this rule called me first. When I got married, I was quite impressed with myself, to be honest, that I nabbed Tam. I was like, man, I fooled her because I married up or something. Because I was like this now, because Tammy is incredible. If you've ever met my wife, Tam, she's amazing. She's preaching at Silverwater right now. She's phenomenal. And she's like an angel with red hair and just is incredible. And she's like so close to perfect. Like she's almost perfection, but she's not completely perfect. Like she's way more perfect than my perfect, but she's still got some things. And there are moments in our relationship every now and then where I'm just so happy because I'm finally right. I'm like, oh, yes. Oh, baby, I'm right in this. You're completely wrong. But there's still tension. I'm like, yo, you messed up. It wasn't me this time. I didn't say something stupid or do something stupid. It was you. This is like, yes. But when I married my wife, I remember reading Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And Jesus died for the church. And he died first. Before the church wanted him, before his people, God's the creation wanted Jesus, it says, while we were still sinners, he died for us. But I'm right, God, this is the one time. But I go first. So I will apologize for what I need to own. Now, there's a few times where I don't, and I'm just like, yes, I got it. But when I'm being good, and when I want my relationship to go well, I apologize. When I'm disciplining my kids, I ask God, what can I own in this? How can I help? Because I'll tell you why. There is something powerful when you come with this heart to say, hey, I got it wrong, I'm sorry. Even if you didn't get it all wrong, maybe they got 90% wrong, you got 5% wrong. When you own that 5%, it does something in the atmosphere. It cracks something. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, I'm sorry too, Daddy. I'm like, yeah, you better be sorry, little punks. You were the ones that did it. But it does. It softens people's hearts. The mercy leads people to repentance. Kindness leads people to repentance. There is something when you decide in your heart, me first, I'm going to go. Before I start poking around at this splinter, I'm going to say, hey, I got some stuff I need to own here to me first. Okay. And finally, we need the Spirit's perspective. You're just play acting. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to take the splinter out of your neighbor's eye. It's an image of hypocrisy. We are trying to play God whilst failing to deal with the issue the way he would deal with it. So we're trying to bring judgment and correction, but we're not doing it in the way that God would do it. We need to stop play acting and step back and remember he is God, but then we are to deal with each other the way he desires. The plank is a way of seeing and judging that makes it impossible for us to see clearly. The plank is a critical outlook. It's like a culture that might be in your home or a culture in your interactions with people. And it's not even necessarily something that you do or have. It's a outlook you have. It's this critical plank. And so, again, sorry, Dan, but Dan's got his splinter, and I'm like, dude, you need to fix that splinter, man. You just need to deal with that splinter. Let me help you. And then Pastor Rich comes to help, and I go, whoa, bang, and I knock him too. And then someone else comes over and you go, whoa, and all of a sudden people are nervous around you because you carry a critical culture that's judging all the time. And it kills you. You hate it. I know, you step away from an interaction and you're like, I did it again. Why can't I just surrender? Why can't I just get soft-hearted? Why do I have to always be so flipping dogged about everything and point out the things on everyone else? Listen, it's a spirit that needs to shift. It's a culture that needs to change. And we're swinging this thing around and knocking things around, but we're doing great damage.
But when I start to realize, and look, I don't even have to fully deal with it. It might just get a little bit smaller, but it's still there. What I need to do, and this is not going to be helpful from angles, but and I don't want to sit on your stuff, Rich, so maybe move that. But maybe if I stop and come alongside Dan, all of a sudden the plank's not in the way. I've positioned myself around someone to actually say, hey, can we deal with our stuff together? There is obviously some things going wrong, but maybe the issue isn't just you, and maybe the issue isn't just me, but I'm going to get God's perspective on this, because this plank, this way of thinking that we all can carry at times, is getting in the way. I need to reassess and realign myself and sit down alongside someone so that we can come alongside, being mindful of our own flaws, enabling us to see each other, like see one another. I see you. I get it. You understand one another, and then you support one another. We partner in the pursuit of allowing the Spirit to convict and change us. This is not about ignoring the splinter. Jesus isn't saying ignore it. He's saying how we address it, but approaching it with a heart to help. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just here for our personal experience. It's not just for an encounter. He encounters us because He loves us. He fills us because He loves us. But then the Holy Spirit is here to lead us. And when we surrender that heart and say, Lord, lead me, help me see your perspective on these things, He will help you address these areas in your life from the right perspective. Again, it's not about avoiding things. It's about approaching them from the right perspective. In Galatians 5, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let's line up with the Spirit. We shouldn't be conceited, vying with one another and jealous of each other. Chapter 6, 1, it says, my dear family, if someone is found out in some trespass, then you, the spiritual ones with spiritual eyes and a spiritual perspective, should set such a person right in a spirit of gentleness. Watch out for yourselves. You too may be tested. Carry each other's burdens, but that's the way to fulfill the Messiah's law. If you think you're something when you are not, you deceive yourself. Every one of you should test your own work, and then you'll have reason to boast of yourself, not of someone else. Each of you, you see, will carry your own load. And so we see this pattern that Paul has set out that is really the pattern of Christ, in that we can, as a community, we own our own stuff and we carry one another's. We own our own stuff because at the end of the day, I can only be responsible for me and the way I reacted and the way I spoke and the way I judged. I own my own load and I'm working on my own stuff. I'm not making someone else work on it and having to have constant coaching conversations with me. I'm listening to the things that are happening, the things people are saying, but more importantly, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and I'm surrendered my life to say, God, I'm ready to work on this stuff. And can I tell you, I'm still working on stuff. There's stuff I'm going to be working on for the rest of my life, because that's what Jesus said. His grace is sufficient for me, for His power is made perfect in my weakness. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to just give up. I'm going to keep working on my stuff. But then I'm going to help carry yours too. My attempt in life is to not pass judgment, but to help people move forward. And in that spirit, in that heart, living as spirit people means we are spiritual people aiming to see and restore people in line with how the Spirit would have us. So we approach each situation with compassion and kindness. Our motivation is not judgment. It becomes a motivation to love. We approach everyone with empathy. We're not here to judge again. We're motivated to understand. We approach one another with dignity and grace. When we have to deal with stuff, we deal with it in a way that is motivated to uphold, not to tear down. To lift up and strengthen, not to embarrass and make people feel terrible about themselves. And we approach one another with a spirit of forgiveness. Before we've even set our foot into the conversation, we've already released forgiveness. We're motivated to move on.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world. every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow, so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.